Hi guys, and welcome to Night Lock. This is the podcast dedicated to the Hunger Games series by Suzanne Collins. I'm Matt.
And I'm Kira.
And we are your hosts for this podcast. We have a very special announcement. It says drumroll please, but I'm not
doing it. No, we're doing it.
No, I don't want
to. We're doing
but
it.
But it's not going to like, okay. Drumroll. Yeah, okay. And so, our special announcement is that we have our friend Mariah here. Say hi, Mariah. Say hi to the people.
Hi.
And Mariah is going to be our guest host for today. So make sure you guys give her a nice warm welcome.
Woo!
And so, yeah, she's going to do fantastic.
Yay!
So we're very excited to have her with us. Not only do we have a new guest, but we also have another announcement. I have to do the drumroll thing again.
Yes.
Where is it? Where
just,
is it?
No, if you hit the link.
Wait, the link? Okay. Okay.
He's
got
still
it.
Learning.
Okay, got it. Ready?
Oh, you have to play.
Okay, I have to play. Okay. We are now, we are now official podcast of HungerGamesMovies.org, and HungerGameMovies.org is an excellent source for everything Hunger Games news related, especially about the upcoming movie. So go check them out. That's HungerGamesMovies.org.
Movie.org. Singular.
I don't know which one it is.
It's okay.
Okay. Also, we have talked to HGGirlOnFire.com, and we are now affiliated with their fan site as well, so go check out both HungerGamesMovie.org and HGGirlOnFire.com for all news about the Hunger Games. So, our segments today include our pen and post, our chapter by chapter, which is Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen, with chapters 10 and 11, Matt's Melody's music, and we are bringing back Dark Duels, and we Mock and Mail is what Kira called
we
it.
We renamed the mail segment Mock and Mail.
And she has her stupid alliteration again.
Yeah.
It's,
be nice.
It's,
I appreciate it.
I don't.
I like alliteration. It works.
Okay. Right. So, we're going to start.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Go back.
I did.
No.
I didn't think we were going to start with Mockingmail, though.
Oh, sorry. So, we're not starting with Mockingmail.
No.
We are going to talk to Mariah here, our new guest host.
And she's a junior with us, and so...
She goes to the same school as us, so we're good friends.
She actually introduced Kira to the Hunger Games, then.
So,
Kira introduced it to me, so
Mariah.
This all goes to her.
How did you get introduced to the fandom?
How did
this happen?
Well, I found the Hunger Games when, you know, I always do this thing on Amazon. And they say, if you like this book, go find this book. So I think I was just browsing and I found the Hunger Games back in 2008, 2009. And I found the book at the library, which I really regret now, but I found it at the library, I took it out, I didn't buy it, and I read it, and I read it for the romance, because I heard there was a bit of a romance, and I'm a diehard romantic, so I read it for that, and, you know, I found this great book inside, you know, and I loved it, I fell in love, and I read the rest of the series when it came out, and it was great, and then I introduced Kira to it. And
2 years ago, I think you're like, oh, you got to read this book, whatever. It was like our reading time in school. It was like, you have to read or whatever.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Flex.
Freshman year.
Flex. Yeah.
Flex.
We've only had it for 3 years. But anyway, so yeah. And she was like, oh, you got to read it. So I picked it up. I read it, fell in love with it. And then it was like a year and a half later, I introduced Matt. So, you know, it all comes back to Mariah.
Yeah. It was so great because at that time, no one really read it. So to have Kira read it and then we could just kind of gossip about it and get all girly about it, even though we both kind of aren't that girly.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's awesome.
We're just really happy that you decided to do this with us. Actually, we have been talking to Mariah for the past 2 weeks about doing this. Like during gym class, we walk the track during gym. And so that's
athletic. We don't play sports.
Hey, I play sports.
Okay. So we were all just talking about it. We're like, okay, we're gonna do this podcast, we're gonna do it together. It was really exciting. And so thank you for coming with us, Mariah.
I'm so honored to be here. Like, Matt and Kira both know for the past weeks, every time they tell me about the podcast, I squeal. And I'm not the squealing type at all, but I squeal when they tell me about it.
All right. So, Mariah's going to be with us for today. If you want to give us a review, this is kind of like her interview episode, so if you want to just review her, see how
she's
she
awful,
did.
You can bash her. No.
Yeah, please do. I'm ready for it.
So hopefully if you guys like her, then she'll come back again. If we like her, then she'll come back again. So,
yeah, she probably won't.
It's not like we're friends or anything.
So we'll move on to Mock and Mail now. This was our, iTunes review segment last week.
No, it's emails.
2 weeks ago. Emails. Okay, so I'll start with this one. Says, hey, Kira, you didn't say who it was from, did you?
It's at the end. Just read the whole thing.
Okay. It says, hey, Kira and Matt, I really enjoyed episode 6. I really think it's been the best one yet. I seriously had a fangirl moment when you said you'll be doing an episode with Rebellion Radio. Oh my goodness.
Goshness.
My goshness. My two favorite podcasts combined, amazingness. This girl needs
Oh my god, her favorite podcast.
Now I have a comment on the whole suicide thing after they become tributes. Okay. I think that they have all the tributes watched by the Capitol to make sure nothing like that happens. Also, I'm sure that they have cameras in all the rooms in the Justice Building in each district to watch the tributes say their goodbyes, cameras on the trains to watch them and make sure they don't do anything stupid, and of course, cameras in the rooms at the training center, plus all the Capitol people and the AVOXers. And don't forget that they have the force field around the training center to make sure no one jumps off and kills himself. Hope you enjoy it, Haley. P.S. Keep up the good work on an already amazing podcast. Okay. We had talked about this before with the
right, last episode we talked, was it last? Yeah, because this is episode 7. So yeah, last episode we talked about how if someone was picked, wouldn't you want to kill yourself rather than be in the games? And so I thought this was really cool that she had more insight to it that we didn't. So it was cool that you know, she mentioned, what did she mention? The cameras in the rooms, which I didn't even think of.
No.
And how the peacekeepers are also there. I don't know if she mentioned that, but so well, it's definitely more, they're always being watched. They're never by themselves.
Yeah. And
the moment they're reaped or whatever.
Just because I just reread this chapter over, they were saying, you know, the minute she found out and the cameras went off, she was like right into the Justice Building. You know, people were with her the whole time. So.
Right. And she was holding back tears and all like emotional space.
And I think that's how they knew when to come in to get Gale out of the room. Instead of him telling her that he loves her.
Right. Because they said something was going
to
happen.
That wouldn't persuade her to stay or try to like rebel against it for Gale.
Right.
So that's very logical and it makes a lot of sense. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks for the email. And if you want to email us, it's nightlockpodcast@gmail.com.
So we're going to say that throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
Make sure you can say it to Mariah if you want.
Yeah, just like jump in. It's like awkward pause, nightlockpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. So our next little
email
is, I'm really excited to read this. Dear Kira and Matt, I love
and
the
Mariah.
And Mariah now.
Oh, okay. I love the Hunger Games, and I was waiting for a good Hunger Games podcast to come out. I was really excited when I found your podcast. I also like MuggleCast because I love Harry Potter. Woo! Okay. I have a website, too. Its web address is http dot... the slashy things, you know the kind.
Nooks and Crannies blog.
Weebly.com.
We're not the only Weebly out there.
No. Very cool. No, we're not.
Alrighty, then. I have a segment on the Hunger Games. I really like your podcast. I was bummed because I couldn't really listen to your last podcast, episode 5, because the connection was fuzzy or something.
Yeah.
It happens. I hope you keep your I hope you keep podcasting for a long time. Love, Kaylee.
Kaylee.
Thanks, Kaylee. That's like...
So yeah, sorry about... Wait, what episode did you say? 5?
That was episode 5.
Yeah, our cast episode. Sorry. I don't know what happened with that, so we're gonna...
Because we were using one computer for the whole thing.
Probably. Because I wasn't here.
Yeah, she wasn't here to save the day, so...
Okay. And so that's our mock and mail, so if you guys want us to read your email on the mock and mail...
Send us one.
We're not doing the mail time news clues thing anymore because Kira didn't like it. But it's okay.
Well, because we messed up last time.
So we can get it right the next time. Okay.
Okay. Two of like a married couple.
Yeah, it's awkward.
So
this is my segment.
Go.
You have your own segment with your own name in it. I mean, come on. Okay, so Pan and Post. This is our news segment. So we have a couple news stories today. So our first one is Josh Hutcherson, along with other actors and actresses, such as Gamey Campbell-Bower and Lily Collins from The Mortal Instruments, coming soon, and Emma Watson for The Perks of Being a Wallflower, also coming soon. I always say that. What did I say?
Wallflower.
Wallflower. They've all been recognized in New Class, a new MTV site that highlights big stars with upcoming projects. MTV interviewed Josh, and this is a quote from Josh saying, "For the audition process, I came in the first time and read a few scenes for Gary Ross and Suzanne Collins and some of the other producers involved. Then, maybe about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks later, I came in and did a screen test with Jennifer, where I actually got to read scenes with her so they could see how the chemistry worked. Both of them felt really great. But as an actor, you just pick apart every single thing you do. So for me, I was pins and needles waiting to find out. And then when I finally found out, my jaw hit the floor. I was so excited." So that's, I love how, like, the actors, I mean, I know I say this every episode, but, you know, I can't stress enough how awesome it is that the actors are so excited to work on this. And the Hunger Games fandom is broadening. I mean, MTV is recognizing it multiple times, and so we're moving on. So Banned Book Week was September 25th through October 2nd, and that aims to bring attention to books that have been pulled by libraries. On the American Literacy Association's list of most challenging books of 2010, The Hunger Games has ranked number 5 on the top 10.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's like, which, whoa.
Hey there.
Sorry, I didn't do it. Okay.
So, one would think that the violence of the book is the sole reason, but it's also labeled as sexually explicit and unsuited age group.
Mm.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, you know, personally, I don't know if I'm... my mom is a teacher, and the school she works in has her fifth graders reading this, and fifth graders, just for people who can't think off the bat about it, are about, like, 10 years old. So,
right.
10 to 11. So... I personally think that's a little young because, you know, there is violence, but there's other things going on as well. You know, there's alcoholism, which
True.
Is kind of serious. There's, you know, talks about breaking the law and stuff. So
yeah.
I think it deals with serious subjects, and I'm not saying they're not ready for it, but...
It is a little intense at that age.
I think they'll be able to absorb it better if they were older and they were reading it.
I think, like, personally that, like, maybe, like, 7th, 8th grade is better for it. Even 7th is a little young, mm-hmm. but, just not because of the violence so much, but because of, like you said, the drinking, and I'm not sure exactly why I said sexually explicit, because it really isn't.
Not at all,
kinda
actually.
Weird, but yeah, you know, there's like, oh, some kissing, like, oh, Pete is cute today.
That's a stretch, come on.
Yeah, I mean, really, sexually explicit, that's kind of, you know. But, yeah, so I thought that was nice to mention, because being readers, as all three of us are, and probably if you're listening, you're a reader too, Banned Book Week is, like, a big thing, so we wanted to include that in our book podcast, so. So, the next news story is probably our biggest. The Capital.pn has more to offer than it did in our last episode. Select districts, as of right now, 1, 6, 10, and 11, haven't been granted access, but the rest of them have. So, once your district has been granted access, you can get an identification pass, and then you can also like your district on Facebook. And we mentioned last episode what else the website has, so we kind of already covered that. But we all have been, I almost said sorted, it's not sorted, it's assigned. Sorry. Potter reference. So Mariah, where did you get assigned?
I got assigned in District 4, what up? So, pretty cool.
Yeah, I got District 1, which is luxury. Which
oh, Matt.
Been, yeah.
Why would you?
I don't know.
And it's not right.
I know, right?
Yeah, I wish there was, like, a quiz or something, so, like, you could see kind of what type of person you were.
They just did it by random, because they found out that my district has over, like, 1,700 people, whereas District 12 is over, like, 119,000 people.
Wow. Yeah, but it makes sense. Like, yeah.
Because poverty, you know, slums, overpopulation.
And they did say that, like, but remember from our, what was it, first episode or something, we talked about how the District 12 had 8,000 people in it, right?
Yeah.
So, but I guess they have to, like, assign all these people, so it's a little different.
The only thing about the quiz that, you know, I've taken quiz to get sorted into
right.
houses, you know, the thing about quizzes, I feel like you can start to figure out the questions. Like,
yeah.
It wouldn't be so easy when you're trying to figure out, oh, is this about fish or agriculture, but, you know,
yeah.
when you're doing, like, Hufflepuff or Ravenclaw, you can kind of figure
out
what
the question
is.
Because you already know what the houses consist of.
Right, but I think
questions.
If you want a real result, then you will just kind of try and, you know,
yeah.
filter yourself.
I liked how it was random,
but,
you know.
Yeah, it did make it kind of like, oh, I'm in this, like, and it obviously isn't for location because we all live in the same place. And we're all in three different districts, so I think it is completely random.
Yeah.
But,
what I liked about it also was when I got my assignment, they had a little, you know, emblem about it. That
yeah,
I never,
each of
yeah.
the districts.
My
now,
little thing had fish on it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know?
It had, like, the fish with the hooks and, like, and my district, I'm 9, by the way, I didn't mention that. So that's grain for me, and you're luxury, and you're fishing.
Loser, man.
Whoa. You know, yeah. I get trained for the games.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I would, like, kick your asses.
Well, we get
okay.
trained in
yeah,
real
yeah,
life situations, you know? Like, yeah.
Kind of, maybe. I just fished. That might come
yeah.
handy eventually.
Yeah.
That's a wink for you guys. Red Buff too.
You guys missed it, but I really.
Yeah.
Making a fool of myself on the podcast, no big deal.
That's all right. We do it all the time. No
yeah, so. And they also, I don't know if I said this already, but you can like your district on Facebook. So that's something else kind of with it. But other than that, they haven't really added anything else. But I feel
yeah.
like it's going to keep branching out. And like we just said before, they have an icon or emblem for each of the districts. So I thought that was really cool, the way they did that. So yeah, and our last news story is that Amazon is offering the entire Hunger Games series, which includes Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and Mockingjay, for only $5 on Kindle and Nook. So act quickly while this offer lasts.
Wait, the whole series? Wait, is it per book or is it
No, the whole series for $5.
What?
Can you get
that? No, I'm not sure if it's that. I'm pretty sure. Because I got it from the library, which is really disappointing, I just got around to buying it on my Kindle. So when I bought the Hunger Games, because I own the two other books, Hunger Games on the Kindle was $4.67.
Okay.
I think each book is around that.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
That's still a great deal. I mean, you can't get better than that unless you buy them at Goodwill like me. So
she bought me Mockingjay.
Mockingjay,
for $2.
$2.
Hardcover.
Can't get better than
Goodwill.
That.
Goodwill. Pretty good
you
stuff.
You did? You bought him that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a pristine new copy, $2.
Who would give that away?
I know.
That's too bad.
You know,
I guess
but at
they
least
want to share
it
the
goes,
love.
It goes into better hands now, you know? So,
all
right.
Keep that for yourself. Keep it.
you get it, you keep it.
You don't share it.
I know, like, when I lent him Catching Fire,
How did you have me put it in a little box?
I bubble wrapped it and put it in a
box. She goes, you have to, like, wash your hands before you touch this book.
Mm-hmm. And he gave it back to me exactly the same, which was good, so. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so our next segment, probably our funnest and best.
Most fun. Come on.
Get out.
Sorry. I am in honors English. I should know that.
Well, you know, AP English, meanwhile.
All right. No. Why don't you just one-up us? Okay. Me. Me. Just me. All right. All right. Well, our next segment. Every day. Okay. So that's Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen. And this is our main segment.
Can I just talk to you? This is our main segment, which analyzes the books by chapters. It summarizes what happened in the chapter. Well, Kira does, I usually don't. And along with interpretation of the characters within the chapter, foreshadowing future events, our thoughts, questions, and comments. We also bring up some speculation. Okay. Last episode, we discussed chapters 8 and 9, so today we will continue with chapters 10 and 11. So,
take it away, Matt, for chapter 10.
Okay, we'll start with chapter 10. And, it starts out when, chapter 9 ended with Peeta telling, Caesar Flickerman that he liked, he liked Katniss.
I came here with the girl I love. I loved it. That was like, hopeless romantic, woo, that's my part. That's what I've been waiting for, you know?
And so, and then now it opens with the chapter. It's kind of like one of those movie scenes where, like, a movie television show where they take the most suspense moment and they, they do a fade out.
Right.
And then it comes back in with, like, her expression. So, this is her saying that she presses my lips together and stare at the floor, hoping this will conceal the emotion starting to boil up inside of me. So, it's like, this is her... remember in the reading, she was trying so hard to hide her emotions.
Right, and she does a good job with that.
She does a good job right here, but later in the chapter we realize that it was actually what the audience wanted to see and, like, what Haymitch was hoping for her to try to, like, be so embarrassed.
Be like, oh my god, like, what'd you say?
I know.
But just keep going.
Death stare from Matt, you know, no biggie.
Whenever I make a joke, he just stares at me and moves on and doesn't laugh, you know? So now I'm Mariah, she can laugh at my corny jokes.
I make no promises. Let me just say that.
Right. So then it's just like Caesar keeps asking Peeta these questions, saying that like how lucky she is to be have this guy like her. And so She eventually says that the roar of the crowd is deafening, and Peeta has absolutely wiped the rest of us off the mat with this declaration of love for me. And so this is early stage of Peeta's way that he can manipulate a crowd.
Yes.
And so we talked about this before. If his I was gonna ask you this. Do you think like his way of loving, his portraying his love for Katniss was to protect her, or does he actually love her? Or is he just trying to, like, get the crowd to, like, get sponsors?
I feel like that's the biggest, the love story.
Right,
you know?
I'm like, okay,
I'm totally,
what do we think Mariah's
going
to say?
I'm totally for the love story. So, you know, I think for me, that's the biggest question. It's not about, like, morality, you know, is it right to kill this person? No, for me, the biggest question is, does Peeta love Katniss? And, you know, for me, I think Peeta does love Katniss, and maybe... I think it started when he gave her the bread. You know, no big deal. I love that, you know, secret love going on.
Yeah.
Right. So, for him to announce it here, I don't think it was right, because I feel like he's almost milking his love to get more viewers. But it could be true. I don't know. It just depends how you look at it. I look at it like he is kind of milking it, but it's true.
Well, it can go both ways because you have, well, you need sponsors because that's basically, that's your lifeline
mm-hmm.
in the arena. So the only way you can get sponsors is if you get the audience attention and the audience to like you.
Yeah.
And then sponsors will come. So it can go either way. It just depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
So now we move on to, after the, with the interviews and everything, Katniss is in the elevator because she's trying to stay away from Peeta as much as possible.
Good luck.
And when she gets out of the elevator, she sees Peeta and she pushes him.
We're going to say Peeta. It every episode, no, Peeta.
I said Peeta?
Yeah, you said Peeta. Peeta. It's okay. All right.
British Peeta. Peeta. So.
And, Peeta? Peeta?
No, yeah, Peeta.
Yeah.
Peeta.
Yeah.
Peeta.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
yeah, if you say I get it now.
Say Peeta
but...
in a British accent. It's like Peeta, Peeta. Like, it sounds like Peeta.
Or you could just remember it as Peeta.
Yeah,
like,
or that.
You don't have to do anything.
Like Peeta bread, you know.
The character's name. You don't have to try that hard.
Right.
Unless you're Matt or Kira.
So, she pushes him into the vase, and then he falls and he cuts his hands and everything. And so she says, you had no right to go saying those things about me. And so when I was analyzing this, I saw, like, she was so calm when she was, like, in the elevator and she was in the interview. She was trying to, like, contain her emotions.
And then she
like, goes from calm to rage to anger in the matter of, what, like, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Between the interview, the elevator, and Peeta. So
it
that's
just, like,
how...
like, escalates and builds up.
That's,
like
how
bam.
quickly she can change her emotions. So, and I found that really interesting because that's part of Katniss's character.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person she is. She can be calm at one point, then if something, like, one little thing can throw her off like that.
Yeah, we were talking about this before in gym class on the track, but we were saying, you know, she is so strong physically, but it seems emotionally she's almost a little immature. You know, she doesn't know how to control
But she doesn't
ways.
Let it get in the way.
Mm-hmm. True.
So, you know.
Right.
Gotta defend my Katniss.
My home girl.
Oh, yeah.
My home skin of biscuit.
Shut up. Right.
Kira, I can't believe you said that. Okay. That was
seventh
like,
grade
that was
reference.
Like seventh grade.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Memories. All right.
Anyway.
I won't touch anything.
So then Haymitch and Effie come in, and Haymitch is just like, she's arguing with Haymitch as always. Because she, like, I think Haymitch is more like the uncle. Like, they try to be mm-hmm. funny uncle, but, like, Katniss always does not like him.
Right.
And so she's complaining on how he made her look like a fool and tired the whole country. And he said that Peeta made you look desirable. And let's face it, you can use all the help you can get in that department. You're about as romantic as dirt until he said he wanted you. Now they all
dirt,
do.
Dead slug, can it get any worse?
That's going to be our episode title, Romantic
dirt?
As Dirt. Romantic as Dirt.
Romantic as Dirt.
So you're all they're talking about. The star-crossed lovers from District 12. So, again, I'm going to give up this question. Was that really Peeta's only intention? Was that really what he's just, was he trying to get the star-crossed lovers?
I always thought he was, like, you know, as I've said before, like, it was when he talked about, did he talk about, during his interview, did he talk about her dress on the first day of school, or was that later in the book?
Shoot.
I can't remember.
Which dress?
The dress she wore the first day of school. Remember how he says, oh, you look so pretty, like, that's when I fell in love with you, blah, blah, like,
that was
because that's
nine.
When I knew.
That was your chapter.
Oh, was? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's when
I
knew.
I remember that.
There was, like,
that show's
nine. Okay, don't even listen to me.
Okay. So, and then these two sentences bring up the whole thing about the games. Haymitch says, it's all a big show, it's how you're perceived.
Yep.
So that's
nail on the head right there.
Right
yeah.
there. That's the whole meaning of it. And he gives these little hints that this is what the games are throughout the whole series, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to, like, put little warnings, says, like, it's not who you are as a person, it's how they perceive you as and how you look on the externally, not internally. You can lie all you want. Just so you can get the audience attention.
And I think both Katniss and Peeta later on in the book really carry that through with the games. You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of, especially when they start the games, they know they're being filmed, or at least Katniss, we see through her eyes, she knows she's being filmed, and she's really aware of how she looks
right.
on camera.
Yeah. And so then they bring up Gale again, and Katniss, her hunting bunny over there, says, my cheeks burn up again at the thought of Gale. I don't have a boyfriend. Okay, so this is, like, third time she has said her emotions towards Gale. And her comment says, he's just a hunting partner. They're hard to come by these days.
Yeah, like, I don't understand how readers can be like, oh, no, she doesn't love Gale at all. It's like, well, duh, can you read between the lines? Even not even between the lines.
It's
right,
like, right
in
there.
The line. Yeah.
Like, it's like, my cheeks burn. Like, what, my hunting partner? Like, if
yeah.
you're my hunting partner, my cheeks won't burn at the thought of you. So
okay.
just,
my she would have said, let's be hunting
that's
partners.
That's so funny. That's like saying my heart wouldn't beat at the thought. My cheeks wouldn't burn at the thought. You're like,
maybe that should be the title.
That just gave me a disgusting look. Okay.
So,
and then, see, now you know how it feels, the daggers of Matt.
And then she gets so defensive. She goes, I don't have a boyfriend. So it's like,
That's really good. I don't have a boyfriend. Matt, I think you should do Katniss impersonations every time.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty good. Okay. And then,
you say no, and then you're like, yeah, I'm pretty good.
Someone's a little conceited, you know, just a bit. All right, just move on.
Yeah, okay. All right, and then Peeta's saying, like, besides, you didn't say that you love me, so what does it matter? So he's, like, dropping those little hints. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense what you're saying that says, well, you didn't say that you love me, so what does it matter?
It's such a whiny baby. You didn't say you love me. Like,
but it's, like, kind of saying that Peeta really means that he loves her.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have said something like that at all.
It's like, I know. It makes you want to, like, come here, Peeta, give me a hug.
Boy.
My bread boy.
All right, and then, I just write down quotes here that I think are really important. But now Peeta has made me an object of love, not just his. To hear
okay.
To hear him tell it, I have many admirers, and if the audience really thinks we're in love. So, like, really think. So that's the whole aspect of, like, trying to, like, manipulate the audience and, like, thinking that they're in love. And that whole thing is carried
out. It's very cunning. He would be a Slytherin.
No.
No, because he's cunning.
He's brave, but he's more cunning than brave.
I feel like he would be like
Slytherin's the Harry Potter
situation. Like, you know, he is kind of Slytherin, but he is kind of
maybe. Yeah, maybe he would choose Slytherin.
You feel me?
Yep.
Connection. Okay, moving on.
All right. So and then she eventually starts to realize that what kind of favor he's done for her and how this can help her get more sponsors. And so she says that he has done me a favor, and I've answered him with an injury. Will I never stop owing him? So she keeps bringing up this whole thing with the bread again throughout the beginning, like saying that I have to owe him for giving me the bread. Now I have to owe him for...
She has issues with, like, owing people. She wants to be so herself. And even, I don't remember what chapter it was in. It was one of our earlier episodes, so an earlier chapter. And she was talking about how people... just gave her stuff, like, traded with her because of her father. Like, her father was gone, and they knew her father beforehand. And then she's thinking about it when she gets the cookies, right?
Yeah.
When she's thinking, oh, they're just giving me this stuff out of pity. Like, it's not because I deserved it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she's very self-reliant and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that would probably be the most sense. I don't think she really wants to owe anybody because she's, like you said, she's an independent person.
Yeah.
She wants to rely on anybody for mm-hmm. anything. So that's why she has, like, a sort of, like, a tension between Peeta.
With Gail, because she's like, oh, I don't need you as a part, like, yeah, like, he's a good hunting partner, but she doesn't need him to, like, live, you know what I mean? Like,
and
she doesn't need a lover.
She does say in the beginning that she doesn't need a boyfriend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, she likes being her own kind of person.
Yeah.
So, and then we move on to Miss Effie Trinket, which is, this is the day of the, before they go into the games and they're saying goodbye. And Katniss says that Effie was obligated to say something like a criticism to them. And so she says, I wouldn't be surprised if I finally get promoted to a decent district next year.
Slap the face. So
that's
oh, Effie.
That's her little sarcasm there and her little, like,
I gotta say,
to, like,
I really don't like Effie. Like,
what?
The more we go through this, I just don't like her.
I think she's trying to be funny, but...
But, okay, here, all right, instead of looking through the eyes of Katniss everything, let's look through the eyes of Effie Trinket, all right? Here she is, you know, a worker, and she's at the bottom rung, and she just hasn't been able to move up, and it's like she has to, you know, some could look at that quote and say, oh, she just wants to get moved up, she doesn't really care about Katniss and Peeta, and maybe it's more like she's tired of seeing people in her district die all the time. You know, she doesn't want to see her too...
Like,
people
she gets,
lie.
Like, that's what Haymitch said. Haymitch gets really, you get really close with these two kids. Like, you try to train them and everything, and then you find out that they die in the arena, and you think, well, all that work event, like, got to nothing.
Especially Effie. You know, she's obviously very emotional, so she probably makes connections.
And you have to think that Effie could probably be ridiculed with the other, like, people in the other district saying, like, your district, your kids aren't going to win, they're worth nothing, they're not going to do anything in the game, so you might as well stop trying.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, diminishes her confidence, and so that makes her feel like she needs to be better at it.
Yeah.
And she wants to, like, point them in the face and say, my kids are going to win.
Yeah. So, Kira, don't be bullying my effing.
I don't know, because she's so, like, into, I mean, a lot of these capital people are, like, so into their looks and so into, oh, how can I, you know, get up on the social status? And I feel like Cinna isn't like that.
Mm.
And,
mm-hmm. I like
you know, so if you compare Effie to Cinna, she's a complete, like, useless kind of, you know,
I don't know. I just like whether or not you think she's useless or not in the movie and you know the coming movie and in the book, she's a fun character. She definitely is fun.
She's a character that lightens the mood. She's really important. In these kind of books, you need that because this is a dark subject. This is a morbid book, so you have to like
have you know, the you know even if the light, stuff she's talking about is kind of rude, you know, it keeps it light.
Yeah, it's true.
Come on.
She's important, but I still don't like her, so...
Okay. Well, here's a question. Okay. For all us listeners out there, do you think Effie Trinket is useless? As Kira Dineen put it. Oh, sorry, I said your last name.
Oh, gosh. Slipping up.
Blooper.
More importantly, Kira's wrong. No. Okay. Answer the question. I'm actually curious to see what people say.
send it to us, and we'll probably prove you
wrong. What's the website name? Can we get that website?
Nightlock.weebly.com.
There you go.
So, or just send us an email.
Fill out a contact thing there, or you can just send us a direct email.
Are you mad at me now?
No, I'm not mad at you.
Okay.
Even though like, I sounded too. Like that. Ugh. Yeah, I probably shouldn't be sitting next to you, Mariah. I should have been in the middle. But, you too. You know.
Okay. All right. So, before Katniss and Pete aboard the hovercrafts, they ask him for one more piece of advice, and Hamish's advice is to stay alive. And he said that on the train, but Katniss never took mind to it because he was drunk at the time. And when he says it again, she starts to think, well, he really means this, and that he knows what he's talking about. He's not just trying to screw with us.
Yep, it's simple, but it gets to the point. Don't die.
Yeah.
Stay alive.
And so, I think, they're on the hovercraft, and so Katniss is talking about how she decided to keep the flames on her nails from the interview as a reminder of who I am to the audience. Katniss, the girl who was on fire, perhaps it would give me something to hold on to in the days to come. So what do you think this quote actually means, in a sense? Like, she's trying, this is how the audience is going to perceive her. She needs to try to please the audience, in a sense.
I feel like she has to hide who she really is, and she has to kind of play another character, you know, just like an actor, kind of like Peeta, and how she can't just be herself. She has to be portrayed as someone else in order to stay alive. Mm-hmm. So that's a reminder of, oh, wait, I can't slip. I can't be myself. I can't, you know, enjoy the woods or whatever because, you know, I start doing that and no one's going to like me.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's also,
I totally agree, it also
shows that, like, she's not confident in herself because she's not like, oh, people will really like me, like, she's like, oh, you know, I'm not girly enough. Even, like, that quote, I think it was last episode that we said, I'm not witty, I'm not smart, I'm not sexy or something.
Yeah,
like, she definitely rats on herself. Yeah, like, she doesn't have zero self-confidence
because, like, usually a father figure would tell their daughter that you're beautiful and everything.
Right.
And she has no presence of a father figure or a mother. So she has, like, she constantly thinks, like, well, what am I useful for?
I'm the man of the family now. There's no room for me to be girly.
And she wasn't like the popular girl in school or anything like that.
She didn't have any friends, only Madge, which she was kind of acquaintances with, kind
of. She was sort of like the typical outcast in a sense.
Yeah. But it's almost like she liked it that way. Like,
I think she was fine with it, but she probably would have liked to be more, I'm not girly, but obviously less responsibility, I guess.
She's more connected with her, like, her own personal thoughts. You remember we read, what book was it last year? The Mysterious Incident of the Dog of the Nighttime?
Right.
Yeah.
He was always connected with his personal thoughts. Like, he would tell the reader all his thoughts and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Katniss doesn't do that, but you can tell that she likes to be by herself and just think to herself.
Yeah.
And just to figure everything out in her head before
she's always thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we get that because it's, you know, we get it.
Right. But even that, I feel like
as
a character, she filters her thoughts for the reader that she doesn't give them everything because I feel like there is thoughts in there of, like, Gale and Peeta is more than she lets on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So, I actually lied. She's not on the hovercraft yet. She's actually on the rooftop with Peeta.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, never mind. And then Peeta is talking about how that, he says that I want to die as myself. I don't want them to change me in there. Turn me into some kind of monster that I'm not.
Mm.
So, it's like, Peeta has zero confidence that he's going to win. He told Katniss that, and Katniss has a hard time believing him. But he says if he does die, he wants to die as himself. He doesn't want to be like this kind of monster that's power hungry or just wants to kill everybody.
Right, and that's not opposite of Katniss, because of the last part you said, but opposite in that he wants to be himself, while Katniss is just like, I don't really care who I am in the games, like, as long as I win, basically.
Yeah. And I feel like this quote really brings up a lot what the whole book is, you know, besides the romance. For me, it's a lot. This whole book is talking about human nature and how we react to others, how we react to events, and, you know, this is, like, a perfect thing. Like, I want to die as myself. You know, it talks about how he's reacting to the Capitol and things like that. And, of course, Katniss reacts differently, and everyone reacts differently.
He's just trying to be as calm as he can for this. Mm-hmm. Because Katniss is, internally, she's an emotional wreck.
Yes.
And so...
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
She's just a little unstable.
She's... Oh, okay. Whatever, yeah.
And also that
debatable.
PETA, yeah. And PETA, like, kind of how he says, I want to stay myself, like, he's not a killer. So do you think going into the games he kind of gave up and is like, I'm not going to kill anyone because I want to die as myself. I don't want to die as a murderer.
I don't know. What do you just say, killer? I was like, you're right. He's a baker. He'll bake you to death. Like, that's what I thought of. But, okay, whatever. Move on.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, like, he was kind of set on not killing anybody. Like, just kind of like, oh, something comes at Katniss. He'll just throw himself in front and be like, ah, I died
that's
for you.
What, and I think, Suzanne Collins did a great job because she's forming this character, and especially... She's writing him as saying these things, but then we all know, because we've read the book, he gets into the arena, and it's a totally different twist.
Yeah. Right.
It's a big bam. It's a bam. Okay.
Okay.
Good adjectives.
All right. And so then this quote here is actually a really big foreshadow for the events to come later in the book. PETA is saying that only I keep wishing I could think of a way to show the Capitol that they don't own me. That I'm more than just a piece in their game. So, like...
I love that quote, more than just a piece in their game.
Exactly. Like,
that's so...
That is...
That's a pun.
I know,
that's
right?
A pun, people. Okay. Piece. Talking about the piece, I think it's a pun. Hopefully I'm not being an
Wait,
idiot.
What do you mean by that?
Like a piece. Like, chess piece. Piece in a game.
Yeah,
It's
right,
a piece
yeah.
of the game and a
oh,
piece of
yeah,
their game.
Oh, yeah, and a
like,
piece in their
like,
game.
Actually,
chess,
like, it could be a puzzle piece. Could be a chess piece, you know?
Well, you think
Any
about
kind of game
well, like, the chessboard makes sense because you think of the whole, like, the perimeter of the chessboard is the arena.
If he's, like, a pawn,
the pawns are the tributes. Then you have, like, the king and the queen are going to be, like, the
game
makers, the president. And then you have, like, the bishops and, like, all those authority figures. It makes a lot of sense.
Oh, Suzanne Collins.
Oh,
how I love
so
you.
Good.
You and your puns.
Okay.
And so it's like, oh, it also makes sense, too, because if you have two pawns, like, you can get the queen to knock them out, like, the king to knock them out.
Right.
So don't it's like... Got it. All right. Let's see. This one's not important. Okay, so now this is where she's on the hovercraft, and she's looking out the window against, like, this dense forest before they go into the arena.
Right.
And she's saying that this is what birds see, only they're free and safe, the very opposite of me.
Bird reference.
Yeah.
Just like the covers. We talked about the bird thing last time of how,
yeah.
Okay, I guess we're skipping that. You're like, yeah,
No, just keep talking.
Okay.
I'm just like...
So, who was it? Rue, that she had the wings on her, and that symbolizes that, you know, she's stronger and, not stronger, she's strong. And that it foreshadows that she's going to be a major character in the book because of the bird reference.
Yeah. Mm. So that's just like, she constantly references the birds because birds are free, birds represent hope, spirit, all that stuff. The opposite of what she is.
Right.
She's not
she's
free.
She's trapped, like
she's
a caged
yeah.
bird.
Yeah.
Right. I know why the caged bird sings. Like, yes. But, and also
oh
how
God,
we mentioned
guys.
Last episode about the covers, how the bird's like trapped, and then as the books go on, it's more free, and at the end
I
it's
never,
completely...
That is a very good
really?
Point, Kira.
Oh, it's like...
The
like,
books are over there.
It's like building off until the point where she's let
right.
out of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Oh, okay.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. And so then, goes back
Looking
to...
Looking at the fire on your nails there.
I'm not even kidding you. I was thinking about painting my nails fire, you know, fiery red, but then I was like, oh, wait, no one can see it.
Yeah. Kira and Matt, yeah.
They probably won't even appreciate it. So.
Oh, I would.
Okay.
Do for Halloween.
Oh, yeah!
We need to do something.
We're planning
about,
on dressing up.
We were thinking about doing Gale and Katniss. For
yeah,
all
and then like
Diana thought she was going to be a pregnant Katniss.
No, I said that.
Oh, You were gonna be a pregnant Katniss?
Yeah, no, I was just kidding. I'm just gonna be, like, a normal Katniss.
I don't even want to think about how that works out. We're,
Yeah, and then our friend Diana, which is, she's into the books, too.
She'll be on next week.
Yeah. 2 weeks. Ruiner. Yeah. Just kidding, that's right. And she's like, oh, I'll be PETA. I'm like, okay, good luck with that.
She went to me, she was like, do you have a blonde wig? And I was like, no. What?
Okay. I feel like one of my friends has a Draco wig, so maybe she could, like, pull that off with it. I don't know, but, yeah.
Okay.
We'll see how all that goes down.
So, and then we go back to how Katniss is going with her lack of self-confidence. She say, I could be dead, flat out dead, in an hour. So it's not just dead, it's, like, flat out dead.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, re-emphasizing it.
But here, you know, I see where you, where there's a lack of confidence, but at the same time, she's being really realistic.
Yeah. She's not telling herself, I'll be fine, when it's, like, chances are you're not. You're going to be dead.
Like, she's seen her competition. Yeah. She knows what she's up against.
I feel like low confidence is PETA, who says, I'm not going to, you know, make it. But realistic is Katniss, who's like, I could be dead. But
I feel like she goes back and forth with hope and then no hope and everything.
Yep.
And then that concludes with, just to sum up the end of the chapter, she goes into the cylinder where she goes up into the arena, and Sin is with her the whole time. Sin is, like, comforting her the whole time, which is Sin's character. Can't wait to see Lenny Kravitz do that.
Oh, that's going to be exciting.
What are your thoughts on Lenny as Sinna?
To be honest, he's kind of not our generation, you know? He isn't really. So, for me, there's... Oh, you're yawning. I thought you were going to say something. For me... I don't know. See, I don't really know a lot about Lenny Kravitz, but when I see his face, I think Sinna. So it's gonna
really that's
out.
Good because I never pictured Sinna as that way.
I pictured Sinna as like a type of Asian kind of person, like a short Asian.
Oh, I didn't.
Well, they
a short Asian.
I'm serious.
They described him as like short, obviously, and then like natural brown hair.
Yeah.
Which that's like so I kind of had that image of him.
Yeah.
And then when they cast Lenny, I've known Lenny because, like, my parents or whatever, and, like, I grew up with his music, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird to, like, grow up with someone, and it's like, oh, now all of a sudden he's one of your favorite characters. Like, that was kind of weird for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, like, I was talking to my mom about him, like, oh, because she read the book, you know, I make her read all my favorite books. And so she was saying, you know, I said, so what do you think about Lenny as Sinna? And she's like, he's going to be great. And I was like, really? Because, like, on other episodes, I don't know if you know this, but I've, like, totally, you know, bashed on Lenny.
Sure.
And I love him as an artist, but I really didn't like him as Sinna. And then, you know, my mom started explaining to me, like, how he'd be great at pulling off the role. So I'm kind of more leaning towards slowly but surely.
What I do know about Lenny Kravitz is that he is... He rock and roll, right? That was him.
American Woman. He did a cover.
Oh, right. Okay. So I guess I do know.
Well, I don't know what that song is called. Like, I want to fly away. You know that song?
Oh,
like,
right.
Yeah, I love that song. Yeah.
Okay. Little performance by Kira. Yeah. But anyway,
such a singer. You
all I know is that, and this is from Project Runway. I don't know if anyone watches it, but so I would watch Project Runway. They had a challenge where they had to dress their models as, you know, rock and roll people, and someone was like, yeah, I'm going for a Lenny Kravitz feel, and I was like, oh, what's that? And it was really, like, he's, like, fashionable, right? He, like, wears eyeliner, you know, he's a rock and roll eyeliner.
So maybe he is perfect. Maybe I'm just oblivious to all that, but...
We'll just have to see, you know?
Yeah, if he's all into fashion, you know, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's kind of right up Sinna's alley, so...
We'll see.
Right, so, and then the end of chapter 10 is just the announcer saying, let the 74th Hunger Games begin. Ladies and gentlemen, let the 74th Hunger Games... Okay. So that's chapter 10. So
the odds be ever in your favor.
Oh.
Thanks.
That was like my kind of fanfare. All right.
Chapter. So we're going to Kira with her chapter 11.
All right. So she's in the cylinder, all pressure's on,
she's
and she's
cylinder.
Looking cylinder
being
right.
Irritated here.
Well, like, you gotta be into it. You know, you're like even the intro, every time you go to the intro, you're like, we have some exciting news. We have a new guest, Mariah. Clap. You're like, you gotta get into it.
You two are so critical of each other.
I know.
Just let it flow, let it be natural.
Yeah. It's been 7 episodes. We're getting into it.
Hey, and 7 is like my favorite number, lucky number.
Yeah, Harry lucky because I'm here.
Woo!
I'm just kidding. Making a fool of myself.
It's alright.
So, all right, so 60 seconds, that's how long they wait for the gong to begin. And so, they're all, like, staring at each other, and PETA looks at Katniss and kind of distracts her. And do you think he meant to do that? Like, do you guys remember this?
I think because I remember
he shakes
that
his head, doesn't he?
Yes, because Katniss was looking at that bow and arrow way in the distance, and she was ready for it. I think Peeta saw where she was looking, and he saw, and she saw it was right near where all the other tributes were. So he was like, "Don't go for that. Remember what Hamish told you: go straight for the woods and find a source of water."
So you think he was trying to help her?
Yes.
Okay.
He wasn't. No, he wasn't trying to deceive her.
I don't know because it ends up he becomes one of the careers, so.
But
you
have to think about that
saying.
He does that because he has no nowhere else to go.
I guess, you know, the first time reading this, again, I keep saying it, but that hopeless romantic thing, I probably thought, oh, he's trying to protect her. But, you know, now reading it 3 or 4 times already, this book, I don't know what to say. I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Katniss reflects upon it a lot. She thinks about it a lot. Like, what if that didn't happen?
Right.
So...
Keep going, kid.
So
okay, no, don't keep going.
The iPad keeps freaking out. So the cornucopia is where food is the center, where food, water, weapons, and survival things are located. So what exactly did you guys imagine as the cornucopia at first? Because I had trouble imagining this.
Well, first of all, I couldn't know how to pronounce cornucopia. I thought it's a Capricorn.
Same here. No, I did.
I thought it was
really
Capricorn. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, why is she saying a Capricorn?
What is a Capricorn?
I have no idea.
Capricorn is a sign. You know, like Taurus, Aries. It's like an astrological sign.
Oh, interesting.
And you guys said Capricorn, so all right, I won't even get it. it's just one of those random facts that I know, but I know from Thanksgiving they had the cornucopia.
Yeah.
You know, a pumpkin, an apple, you know, all these Thanksgiving
all the
coming out of the opening. Yeah.
So I kind of knew what it was, but again, through the book, I think I misjudged the height because it comes
same
back
here.
Later.
Yeah.
So.
I thought it was kind of maybe like the size of a desk. Like.
Oh, wow.
Well, no,
oh.
like
you really misjudged that here.
Like, I thought, you know, like, maybe the size of, like, a small couch, like, and then I reread it, I was like, oh, okay, so my mind is, like, times three, and it's, like, big.
Yeah.
Making.
I knew it had to be big enough to fit stuff in, like,
I thought it was,
tent,
like,
but,
thought it was like,
yeah.
A, like, you know those portable storage unit things?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, so that was,
I got imagination.
That's what I thought, how big it was, like, how tall it was, and how deep it was. Because obviously, the way the cornucopia structure is that it's, like, big on the outside, and then it goes smaller.
Right.
And
it, like, twists around at the end.
The twist going up. So, like, obviously, all the most important stuff are going to be in it, but, the most valuable stuff are going to be towards the back.
Yep.
Like, in the very, like...
Oh, wait, so all the stuff are in the
cornucopia?
No. Okay.
I thought it was kind of, like, spread out around and then
stuff. It is. You have the cornucopia here, in the center, and then...
But the really important stuff.
The really important stuff is in there, like...
Food,
yeah.
Like a bag of apples.
Like all these types of weapons. And then all different items are spread out towards from
like
most valuable to least valuable. So remember Katniss described how she saw like a 4-foot piece of plastic, right?
Right, like a tarp
or
something. That's what I assumed she was talking, like a tarp.
Yeah.
Right.
So she describes the hard packed dirt. And there's a lake nearby in Piney Woods. And she's still in the cylinder. This is all in the 60 seconds.
Well, this is where she's just standing on that platform, right? There's no, like, cylinder around her.
No,
I thought there...
No, there is no cylinder because remember if you step out...
I always imagine the cylinder stayed there. And
no,
then...
Kira, do you not read the book?
No, I do read it. I read it multiple times, more than you.
Then you should know this.
I know, I do know this.
It really is like a little circular platform.
Okay, so you can... Alright, so I always imagined it was kind of like, like,
well,
I don't know how to explain it. Like, you could walk through it, but it'd, like, fry you.
No,
that's kind of what I thought.
You come up in a cylinder, the cylinder goes away, and you're just... You
okay,
say,
all
you right, jump
better visual.
Off the cylinder before the 60 seconds, you're blown up.
Okay, alright, so...
Nice image, right?
So she hears Hamish's voice in her head telling her she should go to the woods. Good instinct. She spots a silver sheath with arrows and a bow and contemplates if she can get in and out of there before anyone catches her. All of this is running through her head during the 60 seconds, as I said. And so what do you think you guys would be thinking about in this situation? Like, what would your strategy be?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not even kidding you. I'm such a scaredy cat, and if it was this, I would already be crying. I'm surprised Suzanne Collins didn't describe anyone crying on the platform, because that would be me. I'd be, like, weeping silently
myself. I'm sure that's what Prim would have done.
Someone would have
done it. Prim would have, like, crawled, like...
I would have just cried, and, you know, even... You know, it's kind of like, you see war movies sometimes, like, people... the soldiers are stuck in situations and they can't move. You know, they're frozen with fear. That's how it would have been for me. I don't know if I would have died right away, but I would have been frozen
yeah.
on that platform and I would have been crying. And, you know, I don't want to make myself look like a wimp, but that would have been me. I would have been frozen with fear.
How about you,
frozen.
I probably would have looked at my surroundings, like where, because obviously you're standing on the platform, the pine woods over there.
You would have gone to like the lake, probably. No, you.
Let's
you
go
just
swimming.
You would just start swimming.
It's a nice day outside. No, like I probably would have weighed my options, like which one would be better. Obviously, the woods would be better because it conceals you better. But then again, you have the lake, which is a source of water.
But then people are gonna be near the lake.
People
like,
are gonna
prayers.
Be near the lake, and so I would have probably judged to go for the woods. But before that, I would have tried to get as much stuff as I could.
Yeah.
So, what do you think you would go for first? Would you go for a weapon or, like, food or, like, health?
Well, we have to think, because a weapon can symbol a food. Can use a weapon
if you know
to get
how to
food.
Use
if
it.
You
yeah.
know how to use, like, that's why Katniss says a bow and arrow is her lifeline.
Right.
Because she can kill food with that and everything. She can set up traps with it. So, I probably would have gone for a weapon and maybe the orange backpack, as she says.
Okay. So, same as Katniss, kind of like,
yeah,
what would be your weapon of choice?
That's
a trident.
I was gonna say that, but I don't know. I don't know. Like, there's tons of weapons you could choose from. Obviously, I wouldn't choose a shotgun because that's too original. I mean,
are there guns in this?
Yeah.
There are guns.
There are
guns in the arena.
No.
There should be.
There's no.
Which is another thing
weapon.
That you know, kind of about the world that Suzanne Collins made. You know, there is a lot of weapons, and it's supposed to be in the future, I guess, kind of.
Right,
like,
it is.
Dystopian
yeah.
future, but where are the guns, you know?
No, there are machine guns, though.
There are in later books, I know, but I don't know about actually in the games, every game, because it'd be too easy to kill
yeah.
someone.
That's true. Like, boom, boom, boom.
And
boom,
it's not,
I win, you know?
Yeah, it's not entertaining for the viewers because you want it to be a gory death, like, you know.
Mm.
But I would probably want a sword. I feel like that would be, like.
Yeah.
A sword would be my...
Sword of Brush of Gryffindor? Yeah.
Maybe.
That's funny.
I'll just pull it out of the cornucopia. Like.
Yeah. I think even though scaredy cat me, if I ever got off the platform, I think I would maybe want bow and arrows because I have done a little bit of archery.
Ooh.
And I'm not saying I'm as good as Katniss or Gale or whatever, even though Gale's not that great, but, you know.
You're a step lower than that, huh? Yeah.
I'm a little lower than your professionalism, but I would go with bow and arrows.
That's fun. You should teach us.
Yeah,
yeah, I would probably go with a sword or a trident, to be honest.
Yeah, I think a sword.
Yeah.
Because, like, a knife, I would say a knife, but you have to get so close to them.
Well, no, it could be, like,
unless you throw, I would not have aim, though.
I'm pretty good at, like...
Are you?
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll have to be in a fight, then.
Yeah.
Have a little dueling session. like, later on, we will.
The dark look
yeah.
from
all
that.
Right,
God.
Just keep
so,
talking.
She missed her chance, and the gong sounds. Peeta distract her, so we were talking about that before. So she ends up grabbing a plastic sheaf with a loaf of bread. Oh, my God. Fine.
Okay.
He wants to eat food.
Just a little sidebar. I brought Swedish...
Sidebar?
Sidebar, side note. I brought in Swedish fish today, and then I ended up being in District 4 for fish. What?
Woo!
Try that on, okay? That's fate
okay.
right there. That is fate, my friends.
So, she... Oh, okay, so a bright orange backpack is near, so she grabs it. But so does a boy from District 9. He dies randomly. Like, she just mentioned, oh, he dies, whatever.
No, Cloak stabbed him.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Give me a chance. So she grabs it. A girl from District 2 has knives and is really talented.
Cloak.
So that's Cloak.
I love her.
And Katniss...
You love Cloak? That's a whole... Okay, we're going to...
All right, after I finish this little
right.
bullet, then we're getting into this. Okay, so Katniss escapes from her with a knife stuck in her backpack. Close call. She lost the bread because of District 2 girl throwing at her clove. So all this happened so fast. So, going back to the whole clove thing, we have a question for you.
Me?
Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
We're gonna, yeah? So.
That's my question.
Okay, so, we've talked on past episodes about, clove and Kato.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think their status is, like, in the games?
Just remind me, Clove is from District
2. And Kato's from District 2.
Yeah.
Right, they're the tributes.
Kato is Alexander Ludwig.
Right. Okay. So, what do I think about them?
There's, like, a relationship going on between them.
Oh. It's hard for me to say that their relationship is going on there because they're both so vicious. I view them as two crazy people who like to kill other people, so I don't see them as being soft and lovely together.
I'm gonna say something.
Soft and lovely.
Remember when...
Were you swallowing? What was that?
When the Resh was attacking Clove. I have to say this because this proves
Yeah, this is like big...
Clove, okay. Clove shouts her Kato's name multiple times when Thresh is attacking her.
Aww.
And when she dies by him, Kato comes running in and he like holds her in his hands and he's like sobbing because she's dead.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I read this book like a ton of times. Why don't I remember? Okay.
Oh, this happens to me all the time. Like, yeah. Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Again, I love to love stories.
I love to love stories.
So, I guess, you know, if there was a romance going on, I probably did pick up at one time, but I forgot about it. So
obviously, it's not really known because there could have been a relationship going on, but they didn't express it to the audience.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Behind-the-scenes relationship.
We still have to find a fan fiction for that.
Whereas, like, I could write one.
All
right. Whereas, Katniss and Peeta, their relationship's out there.
Mm.
And I don't think they want to because Kato and Clove don't need sponsors. They're just your two tributes.
Right.
They're going to get sponsors.
Okay. So.
So, yeah.
So, Katniss sprints in the forest, and for hours she runs / jogs, so she's in good shape. And now she needs to find water.
Build some muscle there.
And there's lots of different trees she recognizes and a few other foreign ones. And so the woods makes her feel more comforting, but other than that, she's in survival mode now. Now, just a quick question here. So, I know some people say that the capital, it's all artificial stuff. Like, it's not real trees and real this and that. What do you guys think? Like, it's all artificial?
We talked about this, didn't we?
Mm, I don't know if it was on air or not.
Oh, it was in gym class.
Oh, okay.
Good times in gym class.
To be honest, the way, and I just started realizing this after I saw the teaser trailer for The Hunger Games, I realized that the woods I was picturing wasn't realistic. I just realized, I was picturing, like, flat ground, you know, no roots, no leaves, you know, nothing, maybe a few ditches where there needed to be ditches, and, like, a decline or incline when there needed to be one, like, when she talked about
it in the
book.
I kind of pictured similar to that.
So, it was just, like, for me, it was just, like, tall trees and a flat ground. So, but then I saw the trailer, and it was, like, trees different sizes, ones falling down, you know, different things, like, looking out in your backyard. That is what a real...
I'm in the middle of the woods, so...
Yeah, so, this is what a real woods is like, so... It was really unrealistic. So I guess the way I pictured it was kind of artificial, but I don't know.
I pictured it to look more like a scene in Vermont.
Hmm.
Like, you have, like, the lake and all the pine trees surrounding it.
Yeah, really good.
And I pictured that, like, you're looking straight out. There's a...
Very Vermont.
Cornucopia.
Yep.
Cornucopia. I was Capricorn.
Capricornia.
There's a cornucopia there. To your left, it's, like, to your left is the dense pine trees,
mm-hmm.
everything, like, it's really thick, you can't see anything, and then there's the big lake to your right.
It's kind I kind of like, pictured that,
it's kind
yeah.
of like our lake, except it's, like, a bit more...
There's a lake near my house, too, by the way.
Or it's a bit more, like, thick and dense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess my lake wasn't realistic either, because I just pictured
I kind of
like,
pictured, like, my backyard, like, because I'm, you know, there's, like, my woods around me, so, yeah.
I didn't picture it well.
And I, like, read it in the woods, too, which was awesome, you know.
Cool.
So, where was I? Next, we're introduced to the cannons. Cannons?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
How else? Okay. Whatever, Kira.
So, one is shot for every person that dies, just for those of you that don't know, and a photo of them is shown into the sky.
At night.
Right, at night. So, the first day, they wait until the battle at the cornucopia ends, when all of that is solved. And so 11 die total in the first day. So that's almost half. So that's definitely the
Which
most intense
Which I think
intense
is realistic.
Day. Yeah, definitely.
I just thought about this. For tribute, here's a question. If you were a tribute and you were...
Don't play with that. Give it to me.
And you were really religious, like you were big on the whole saying thou shalt not kill or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you had you were in a situation where you had to kill somebody. Like, what would you do?
Someone else talk, because I feel like I'm talking too much.
Mm-hmm.
No, I feel like I'm always talking too much, and Matt's like, yeah. He, like, nods, so nobody understands.
Okay, I just feel like it's kind of that thing, like, if someone who's really religious goes into war, it's like they're killing someone in defense of their own life or in defense of their country.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, if it was Thou Shall Not Kill is in the back of their mind, it's almost like, well, someone else is going
to
kill me.
It's to save my own life, yeah. And then also, like, if you're religious and you have to kill other people, like, you have to get home to your own family and, like, feed them. I mean, definitely Katniss, that's on her mind. And maybe some of the other districts have the same thing where they're in charge of their family and everything.
And also, to not fight, that's like suicide.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
Which is also looked down upon.
Right.
I think it would be like he'd be more forgiving if you were doing it for a strict purpose. If you were doing it just out of sheer anger or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a big difference between that. But. So the backpack has a sleeping bag, half a gallon empty plastic bottle, crackers, beef strips, iodine, sunglasses, matches, and wire, which we find out aren't sunglasses later. But for now, she thinks it's sunglasses. So this is pretty good for like a backpack that was kind of outside, you know, on the outside of the cornucopia. So, definitely some good stuff in there.
I think iodine's most interesting because I didn't really think of that until, of course, it came up. Like, I knew iodine was used to purify water, but I never thought, well, that's another way the game makers could get them. They could, like, poison the water or something.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah, it's a good thought. Cool stuff. I don't know what else to say. Like,
yeah, there's not much.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice stuff in there.
So, she thinks PETA. She thinks of PETA, and if he has survived this long, she is then relieved that PETA is alive, because he wasn't shown in the sky. So she convinces herself that it was best if he wins for her mom and her sister. So if she doesn't win, she wants PETA too, which is a good thought, you know.
Hmm.
So why do you think she even has thought of the moment? Does this make sense?
What?
Can I even
read? Why do you think she even has thought at the moment everything is stale?
Is that English?
Kira doesn't know.
I don't even
right
know
sentences.
What I'm trying to say.
I keep bullying you. I'm gonna
why,
stop bullying
you.
Why
do you think she even has? Whatever. I guess we'll just
skip.
Okay. So far, this is who we have left in the games: 5 career tributes, Foxface, Thresh, and Rue, and PETA, plus 3 others that are kind of minor characters. So Katniss then eats some of the soft inner strapping. Is that strapping? That doesn't make sense.
Where?
Right here.
What do you write?
Strapping. I don't know. I've also done this really
hard.
Yeah.
It's
so
the
inner bark of the tree, and so she kind of eats that to fill herself up.
I've never tried that.
Well, I've tried it.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh. Just fun fact, but
you're full of fun facts.
I don't know why. Okay, gum is actually made from something called chicle, and that's how they came up with the name for the gum chiclets. But chicle is the inside of some kind of rainforest tree, and it's like a gummy, you know, and that's how they come from the base of gum. Hmm. So chiclets, chicle, it's from a tree. Connection to Hunger Games.
So she can make gum to keep herself occupied in the game.
Yeah, it's almost gum if you can't picture it.
So, she uses the wire that she has in her orange backpack to make a snare, and these are skills she learned from Gale. She's putting them to good use.
Hunting buddy.
Yes, her hunting buddy. So, Katniss settles for a willow tree, and she scales up to craft her home for the night. And
like a squirrel.
Yeah. I just imagine her, like...
Craft her home.
Like, Twilight reference when Edward just scuttles up the tree. Oh. Like, her just, you know...
No Twilight reference. Yeah. No Twilight.
We have Twilight listeners, so...
You're really gonna hold us.
What?
Just keep talking.
Okay. You're just in a bad mood today, Matt. So, she puts her backpack at the bottom of the bag and straps herself in, being the smart hunter she is. And she stays warm for the night. So the last thing she thinks before she sleeps is, at least I don't snore. So, you know, this whole chapter has been really intense. And here is the comic relief we were talking about. Not from Effie, but from Katniss. Mm-hmm. So no matter the circumstances, Katniss, as we have said before, will lighten the mood with sarcasm. So she awakens to a snapping of branches. A pair of hands appear over a fire. What are they thinking is what she thinks of. It is a clear sign and giveaway to where she is hiding.
I would have been that person. That would have been me.
It basically would have been like, well, funny way she says, she goes, hey, I'm over here, come get me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what she's saying.
Maybe it's like, you know what, I'm done with games, just want to die kind of thing. I mean, she could have been thinking that, right?
But at the same time, like, so I'm trying to think, if you do in the daylight, you can't really do in the daylight because you'll see the smoke. At the same time, you can't do it at night because then you'll see the fire. So
I think at night it's even more obvious.
Yeah,
like,
you need like a cave.
Yeah.
You need a cave.
Yeah. Maybe they'll find one in the games at some point in the book. No,
dot,
no.
Dot, dot. Okay.
So, where am I? Right, the hands above the fire. And so it's a clear sign and giveaway. And she can tell that it's a girl. And then the Queers come and kill the girl off.
Lovely.
So the Queers are made up of, as we've, what is made up of,
one, two, and four.
Oh, districts. Two boys and three girls. So I was kind of surprised that it was three girls. Because I imagine, like, more guys, like Queers, like all built up, jacked.
Well.
You know?
Sorry. I keep doing that. I keep saying, but okay. shout out. okay, anyways, two boys and three girls. But it's not two boys, is it?
Isn't it one of them is PETA, right?
Oh, okay. Well, I thought we were hiding that fact. Is it really two boys including PETA?
Yes. No. Because
it would be three boys.
No, one is Kato. And then one is probably District 4 boy.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
No, District 1 boy.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, they don't notice Katniss in the tree. The Queers are below them, because Katniss is sleeping in the tree. Well, now she's awake.
You forgot to mention that she wrapped the belt around her.
No, I explained all that. Like, I didn't want to go into detail. Then she wrapped the belt around her. Then she said goodnight to herself.
She
like,
buckled it on the third hole. Just kidding.
So, so the Queers have flashlights and torches. So, it is kind of the middle of the night here. Just picturing this. And they argue whether the girl is dead because the cannon hasn't sounded. So then she hears a voice, "We're wasting time. I'll go and finish her, and let's move on." Who does that voice belong to? Not only PETA.
Who but?
Not only PETA.
You mean there's more? Okay. Who but PETA? And
I should really go into another English class.
I feel like Suzanne Collins is just like the master of twists.
Every chapter ends with a cliffhanger.
Twisty, twisty turns of Suzanne Collins.
So that's how we end Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen this week.
So great. When I found it was PETA, I was a little heartbroken.
Yeah. I was like,
but at the same time, it was like, you know, it wanted, you gasp, yeah. And you're like, let's read more. That was one of the things where you, like, plow on through the night.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever a good point in the book to stop. Like, there's always.
Oh, there isn't. Trust me.
If I could have, I would have been up to, like, 2 in the morning.
Me as well. I read it on, I swear to God, I read it on, like, a Sunday or something. And I stopped halfway through the book for some reason because it was 2 in the morning. That's why. It was 2 in the morning at
like,
school
we were
the
talking
next
about
day.
This. And Akira had me read it, and I was reading it until, like, 12 in the morning. Like, midnight, and it was probably at finals the next
day. I gave, like, stupid me. I'm thinking, oh, you know, like, I gave him the book. I was like, oh, here, read this, you know, at some point. It was during finals week for us in June. And so he started reading when he got home, which I didn't know he was going to do. So he ends up staying up so late, and then he had finals the next day. He's like, yeah, I didn't study. I just read The Hunger Games.
No
one
studied.
That's so funny. Little side note, since we're all talking about our experiences reading. So the second day I read it, I was home alone, and then my sister came home, and I'm in my room, and I'm at the end part, and I won't give away anything. Just know that I'm kind of wolf.
The end of the second book, you're saying?
No, end of the first book.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
Know. I know you guys, like, talk about it, but so uh-huh. I don't want to give anything away, but I was bawling my eyes out at the end of the first book, and I'm just crying, and my sister walks in, and she was like, Mariah, are you okay? Maybe I should take that away from you. And I'm not even kidding you. I scream at her. I say, get out of my room right now. And I go on, finish the book. And, like, she knows I'm upset at her. And she's like, Mariah, what happened? I was like, just don't even talk to me right now. I just need a tissue. I just finished my favorite book in the world. You know, don't even. So that's it. Yeah. Just make sure you're alone when you're reading this. Because, or at least for me, I get violent.
Even rereading it. It's like, oh, you know.
Okay. All right, so that's the end of our chapter by chapter.
Yay!
This is yay! No cheering.
We
kids.
Need the cheering kids.
No! Oh my god.
Okay.
I promise them next episode I'm gonna play the cheering kids.
I'll be your.
We've
cheering
had requests.
Kid.
Yeah, it's a from another podcast.
Oh.
No, it's all like, hey, we need cheering kids on the show. No, because I made a reference to Smart Mouse podcast. And so I was like, yeah, we need cheering kids on the show. And someone sent in, yeah, totally, get the cheering kids or whatever. So
I'll be your cheering kid.
Yeah.
Woo! Woo! I'm a cheering kid. Okay. So I make a special rule of myself.
So now we're moving on to our Dark Duel segment. We're bringing
yes.
this back.
All right, you guys need to start because I'm a noob at this. So
noob.
So let's see. Kira, you can go.
Okay, so this is our segment where each of us choose a character from the series to put into the arena. We each explain why the character we picked would survive against the others. So it's just going to be the three characters because we each pick one, each of the hosts. So then you listeners decide who... Decide? Did I really just say that?
Decide
who won by voting on our website, nightlock.weebly.com. Weebly is W-E-E-B-L-Y.
You
sounded
like you said wee-wee. Okay, I'm immature. Move on.
So, all right. So you want to, like... How are we going to, like, reveal
Someone
our people?
Someone else go, because...
Kira goes
all right,
first,
no, no, let's first. Let's all say... Because we need to know, like, oh,
no
let me,
goes,
like, pick
just
on...
Kidding.
No, like, no. Oh, like, if you touch your nose, you go? Like,
no.
Okay.
No?
Okay. Okay, how about, like, we all say our character at once?
No.
Yeah.
No. Kira, you go
You don't
first.
Know your character? No, because I'm going to pick
either.
A character.
I don't know my
And
character.
You're going to pick... Oh, I'm just going to pick the character
Kira,
who killed
go.
Them.
Kira, go.
Fine. Okay, I picked Rue.
I know.
Anybody?
No, I actually didn't know that. Explain. I want to hear this.
Okay, I made bullets.
I'm gonna hear
you. Breaking the bullets out.
Okay, so
that's funny.
Rue would win. Well, I gotta know your characters because I don't know how to, like, you know. I could say, oh, she's better at, like.
What do you got?
No, you go.
What do you got?
You go. I'm the noob. You go.
Yeah,
I'm the
go
guy.
Back. All right, come on,
I picked
go.
Clove.
Clove. Okay, who'd you pick?
Who did I pick?
You can't remember.
I didn't make bullets or anything. I picked PETA. Don't give
okay.
me that look.
I did PETA. Okay.
So,
all right. Okay, so now I know how to,
it's
like,
just
take
the three
you down.
Of us. Just a reminder for everyone who's a new listener, and I find this out, it's just the three of us. So it's Rue, Clove, and PETA. Bring
in
it on.
Clove and PETA.
In the arena.
In
yeah.
the arena. Okay. So.
Why did you do that?
Hey, jeez. It makes the show lively.
Okay. You're not being lively.
I'm being lively. I'm being wonderful. Okay. Anyway,
simmer,
moving on.
Simmer.
So. What are we going to do
just,
when you're not here?
Okay,
like,
just...
Dad, what throats. Have you done?
I don't know.
You haven't listened to us, bud.
I have to.
So, I picked Rue, and I think she would win against Clove and PETA, right? Yeah.
All
right. Because she has everything you need to survive. Number one.
Oh, jeez.
She's good with a slingshot. I don't know if you guys remember that, but
yeah.
she is.
Yeah.
And so she can, you know, from far distance, you're not looking, she's up climbing a tree, because that's what she does, she's squirrel girl.
Squirrel girl.
Squirrel girl. Yeah. She's squirrel girl. So she
I thought it was like some slime game.
I thought she was a bird girl.
I think it
or
was
board,
like...
Bird. Board girl and
See, this is
girl.
Why I can't go past an hour, guys. I just don't last. So, sorry about that. I've been talking a lot. All right.
So she would win because she can climb up on a tree. When you're not looking, she could just take you out with a slingshot, right? You might not die from it. But you'll be knocked out because she can hit you precisely. And then she
We're
would
getting
take...
specific here. All right. Okay.
Then she would take her sharp rock shard and just stab you to death. And
Jesus.
Whoa, you're really specific here. Okay, I'm
yeah.
going to have to get to...
So, I'm not done yet. I can keep going. So,
oh, God. Here we go.
And she's also underestimated, so you wouldn't realize that she's going to be this intense and everything. And she warned Katniss about the Tracker Jackers, so she's very smart, and she knows her surroundings. And my iPod just freaked me out. Okay, and she also got a 7 out of 12, so that's a decent score for her thing. No, no, it's
Whoa.
Good. They can't see you. You do know that.
Thumbs down.
She has knowledge about plants, so she can keep herself alive by eating her surroundings. I don't think I've ever gone on this long.
Right.
And
I'm gonna
lastly,
whip you with my
okay.
character. Okay.
Whoa.
Lastly,
I'm getting competitive.
She can heal people. So if she gets hurt, she can heal herself. If she can find food, and she can attack other people, and you can't catch her, as said in her interview. So Rue is the ultimate.
You can't catch me. Gingerbread man.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Just
okay, so
apologizing to all subscribers. I'm making a mockery of myself.
We're gonna
I'm
like
sorry.
Get up to our thing. It's like negative 2,000 subscribers. Like,
I'm sorry, guys.
Raya.
I'm just sorry.
Okay, so Matt, you wanna go?
Right, okay. So Clove obviously has skill with daggers, which can represent killing for game, killing other people. But also it's not like you can just see Clove in this, and she's very good at hiding. As just as she was on when, because later in the book where they had to go off and get the packages
mm-hmm.
and the I'm gonna say
Capricornia. Capricornia.
So she was like, she's all of a sudden you see a knife come out of nowhere.
Right.
And so that's how good she's so precise at a good distance, mm-hmm. so she can easily kill someone even as climbing in a tree with Rue, she can just kill Rue, knock her out, and then just.
Well, Rue would just hit her with her slingshot and knock her out before she would even realize. Because Rue was hidden in the trees.
Having part of, like, being able to handle daggers is having a good sense of peripheral vision and aware of your surroundings. So she's very good with her, like, the environment that she can adapt quickly to any environment. Which actually is really helpful because she's very precise. So she can remember where a specific tree was. And she can know that she can, if someone's past that tree, she'd know and she can track them. As she did, what she did with Katniss, she tracked Katniss down.
Right.
And so it's just like she's very good with that kind of stuff. So it's easy for her to take down tributes. And okay. even she's not afraid to go up for a fight. Like she has zero fear of anyone because she knows that she's an intimidating person.
Okay.
So that's cool for you.
All right. You ready for PETA? Here we go. Ready? Here's my guy. This is my first time doing it, so if I don't do it as precise as you two. Here we go.
It's okay. Keep going.
All right, PETA. Not only is he a fan favorite by many, many
How does that
readers.
Make him love the game? Win the game.
Okay, not done. fan favorite. So, you know, just, you know, he could charm people with his good looks and get more sponsors. Like, you know, okay, because this is a new arena. There's no Katniss here.
Right.
You know, but...
So he can't play the whole lover stuff.
You know, he can't play the lover thing, but he would find something with his good looks and his self...
Charismatic.
Yeah, you know.
Not that I should be helping you, but, you know.
He's charismatic.
Charismatic.
Okay. Charismatic. So, there's that. And then also, you see, you know, this is kind of after the chapters we described in this podcast, but... As Kira and Matt go on, maybe me, well, you'll find out more about, like, how good PETA is. PETA is a career now. You know, he's at that level. I forget what he got in training, maybe a 7? 8? He got an 8 in training. Yeah. That beats Rue, bam, right there. And, one down. No, just kidding. But
he can
just
only camouflage himself. Like, what other offensive stuff does he have?
Obviously,
he doesn't know, he doesn't want to kill anybody.
And it can be assumed that on the first day, 11 people died, right?
Right.
PETA may have killed one of them.
Well, it wasn't Rue, so...
You're right, it wasn't Rue. Rue hasn't killed anyone. And she can't just hide in the whole arena for the rest of the game.
Well, PETA can't either. He can't just camouflage himself into the
ground.
But
that's what I'm saying. In the 11 people that died, it can be assumed that he killed someone. Not saying it's right, just saying it happened.
I say Clove and Kato killed the vast majority.
And that could happen, but it is also true that he finishes off the girl who had the fire. So he kills people. So,
I thought you meant Katniss, like the girl who had the fire. Like
No.
The girl on fire. I was like, wait, he finishes Katniss?
Not my PETA. Okay, so there's PETA, he kills. He is good looking, so he can get sponsors. And if he doesn't have this variable of Katniss in there, his, you know, love, so he doesn't have to keep up all these images, like...
But how is he going to keep himself fed? Because that was Katniss's role.
That's true, but he does know roots. And you have to assume, if he's a baker, he must know some knowledge of, I don't know, like, what if there was barley or something? And you know how Thresh hides in the wheat and everything? Mm-hmm. But what if he went there and he was like, hey, I can use this, and, like, takes advantage of the wheat?
Yeah,
that's
persuasive.
That was,
we all had pretty good cases.
I think so.
So that'll be on our poll.
Yeah, so go vote for Mariah, Matt, or Kira. Emphasis on the last.
Did you say the first? I don't know. Vote for Mariah and PETA. Mariah and PETA were meant to be together. Okay. Right. Or don't vote for me. It's all right.
Because she won't be coming back. No, I'm
kidding.
No. All right. So that's our Dark Duel segment.
Yeah, I like Dark Duels. It's a fun segment.
Move on to our final segment, which is Matt's Melodious Music. And so this is every podcast episode, I will play a song by a well-known artist, a composer, or a Hunger Games fan-made song that connects to the novel based on the chapter of discussion. This week, I've selected my own personal favorite, which is called The Infernal Dance of King Cache by from the Firebird Suite by Igor Stravinsky. Actually, I played this piece in my other shows. Actually,
oh, cool.
I love it. So I'll post a video under my District 9 tab, Matt's Melodious Music. And keep in mind, guys, you can submit your own personal songs or your favorite songs through Twitter, just tweet us at NightlockPod, and we may have your song featured.
Or any other ways of contacting us. And the song that, Haley, you submitted with your email, we are going to use that on a later chapter that it kind of goes with, complements the chapter. So you can look forward to that.
And so keep in mind, guys, this song, this is going to get really loud. I mean, not insanely loud, but it's going to be loud, so make sure you just keep your hand on the volume. And so this piece connects with the chapter because this is a very intense piece, and again, it's a very intense chapter. Mm. Two chapters. So
here we go.
I know, that's like
very fitting.
It definitely fit with
definitely
my chapter more than yours because it's more action packed.
But then it's like you have like that little in middle parts where it's just like not really intense music, just like little.
Yeah, like the beginning parts. Where it's more intense, where it's like the 11 are pretty much dying there, and then when Katniss kind of leaves and she's like running, so it's kind of like more fast paced, and then jogging when it kind of gets less fast paced, you know.
Mm-hmm. So that's
that
I'm gonna put that on the website, and so that's just one section of the whole Firebird suite. There's the lullaby section, there's the finale section, and then there's the beginning part.
So yeah, if you want to hear this whole song, you can go to our website under his music tab. Mm-hmm. All of the songs that we've played on the podcast are there.
Yep.
Except no singing on there by me or Kira.
Right. Except for my little musical talent there.
So that's Monday's music segment. So if you guys want to send it in, do not hesitate to, put in your own types of music, and we'll see if it will coordinate with, the chapters, and we'll play for you guys. Usually, I do pick usually the songs that I get, and if we usually don't get one, it's going to be a classical song most of the time, since I'm big on that.
And we had someone send in that they love them, so that's also good, too.
So I like that a lot. So,
That's
episode 7. Woo! We're not doing it. Where's the plugs today?
Yeah, well, that's the end, you know. So, some of the plugs. So, visit our affiliate websites. That's HungerGamesMovie.org and HGGirlOnFire.com for all news on the Hunger Games series and the upcoming movie, mostly. So, and we also have an announcement, if you haven't figured it out. Episodes will be released on the 2nd and 4th Sunday of the month. So, our next episode is the 23rd of the month.
Yeah, we're really sorry. It's been two weeks since we've actually posted.
It was three weeks. Yeah, because it's supposed to be every 2 weeks. So
it's just like our bandwidth works better with
you guys.
The 2 and 4 weeks.
We
guys are downloading us.
Yeah, you guys are downloading us too much. You know, we can't take it. So we switched to the 2nd and 4th Sunday. So now, you know, you can get Rebellion Radio one weekend, us one weekend, and then Rebellion, you know, flips back and forth. So you'll have one for the week.
And so keep a lookout for the trailer, because that Saturday after the trailer is going to be our combined episode with Rebellion Radio.
And yeah, so.
Did we tell you about that?
Do
you know Hurley Commons?
Yeah,
he's the main guy.
We talked to him over Skype, and we're going to do like a combined episode about the trailer.
Yeah.
Him and his team and us.
That's cool.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. So. When that episode comes out, that will be considered, being counted as one of our two episodes of the month. Just bandwidth-wise, I don't think we can take that many downloads a month. So, that would be the episode. So, also, because we haven't said it enough, we love feedback. And so if you could review us on iTunes, we have currently 9 reviews and almost 3,000 subscribers. So I'm sure a few of you can put in some reviews and help us there.
I reviewed it.
What up? Yeah. What did you made a review?
Wait, no, actually.
You rated it.
I rated it.
You got to rate and review.
Ooh, that backfired. Okay, I'm going to go review it now then.
Yeah, so rate and review us on iTunes. That's, if you do anything after this episode, please, that'd be the number one thing to do for us.
Because if you want to keep us, keep Nightlock going, then it'd be great if we get some reviews.
Got to support the cause.
Yeah. We need to beat out some of those podcasts. Though.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't, you know, yeah.
I'm not going to mention any names.
Pearl is going down, let me tell you.
Oh!
The bar has been set.
Little podcast rivalry right there, you know?
Yeah, right. So as I always end the show with, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe us on iTunes. And you can find all those links on our website, nightlock.weebly.com.
So thank you, Mariah, so much for coming.
Yeah,
with
it was awesome.
It was a blast.
It was a new
time.
Dynamic. I was going to come up with a name, like, because we're the dynamic duo. So
we
I got
like the tragic trio.
I was
going to
see the tragic trio. I was say, like, the golden trio.
It
but
was a little tragic. No.
It was a tragic episode, but there was some comic relief in
there
it.
There was.
So.
All right. You well, know. I just want to say thank you to Matt and Kira for having me on. This was
awesome.
Like the biggest thing I've ever done in my whole entire life. So this is such
that's not sad at all.
Such an honor. But and then also I just want to thank all of the subscribers, listeners to listening for me, to me and putting up with me and putting up with all the stupid jokes I make and the weird stuff.
Yeah.
So thank you. Just thank you to everyone. I'm just really grateful.
If you guys want to have Mariah come back for a few episodes, then make sure you guys...
Maybe we should put a poll up? Do you want Mariah back?
Let us know how she did.
Yeah.
And because we think she did pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
But,
thank you.
And
you,
we do love constructive criticism. It's awesome when we say, oh, you're my favorite podcast. But
we really do
in order
appreciate
to improve,
it. I do.
Yeah. In order to improve, we definitely need some constructive criticism.
Oh, it's fascinating. All right.
Maybe
time.
We should just stop.
We're done. All right. All
right.
And so I'm going to play the whole theme song since you cut me off now.
All right.
So here.
So, yeah, our next episode is most likely going to be the 23rd unless the trailer comes out.
Bye, guys.
So, bye. Thanks for listening.